Today's Mishnah in Masechet Peah is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zion. So if you recall, yesterday we ended up with the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, and we actually passed like Rabbi Akiva, even though the Mishnah says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva, because this is halacha kedvarav and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. However, as I mentioned to you, we don't necessarily follow the halacha of a Mishnah. So we passed like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva expanded the issue here into all cases. Now, he spoke about a lot of cases. He spoke about Peah, Bikurim, the din of a Prusbel, and the din of Kinyonim, where you can transfer Metaltalin Agav Karka. That's called a Kinyon Agav, which is also referred to as Nechasim She'en Lemachrayit, Niknim Bekesim Shtar Bechazaka. But how about many other issues, which also talk about karka? What is the amount of karka that we're talking about? So let's take another case. Hakotev nechasav shchiv meira. Somebody gave over, as he is ill and possibly dying, and he writes, now in this case, he doesn't make stam a oral statement, which is normally a matna shchiv meira can be made even orally. You don't need to make a shtar. You don't need to be kotev. You don't need to make a kinyan. And that's because, remember, the Chachamim made a takana in order to avoid additional mental stress that could hasten this guy's death. If he's nervous about transferring his property, they made this special halacha of a shchiv meira, which is clearly meant very seriously. If somebody thinks he's dying, we rely on that to be the equivalent of the act of a kinyan. But in that case, if he recovers, then the recovery cancels the statement completely. So there we don't have any question. In this case we're talking about, where he actually made a kinyan, but he did not write in the kinyan the words that are written in a shchiv meira kinyan, which is, I was in the bed and I was in a matzav of shchiv meira and so on. He didn't write anything like that. He made a regular kinyan. Then he gets better. So now the question is, can he claim that the context of the kinyan was clearly that he was in the hospital and was sick, and so probably that's why he wrote this contract, or is that an insufficient taina? So the difference is defined by shi'er karka kosho. If he ended up in this gift and he gave everything but, and he left out something that would be enough for him to have lived on, then the matana is a matana. Because if he thought that he needed something to live on, then that means he did not assume that he's dying. He was taking into consideration the fact that he might survive. And therefore, the matana remains a matana. We need an actual proof that he really wrote this only because he was dying. Now, it's true that it says kol shehu, and in the context of Rabbi Akiva, it seems to mean kol shehu. Afal pikein, because of the Gemara in Baba Basra, is very mashma that the whole thing is an analysis of his ability to support himself. The Rosh says that it doesn't mean kol shehu; it means just enough to be able to survive on. But it doesn't mean the same thing that it meant in the other context, literally kol shehu, because otherwise the sugya in Baba Basra is very problematic. So again, it seems to run against the Mishnah, but that's what the Rosh says. The Rosh agrees with him. So fine. The matana would be a matana in the event that he leaves the tiniest bit that could conceivably be enough for him to survive on. But lo shi'er karka kol shehu, if he didn't leave anything for himself, so then it's considered to be, even though he didn't say so, it's considered to be, despite the fact that he wrote out a contract, and normally the shchiv meira wouldn't have had to write a contract, the whole thing is understood as a worried about dying gift, and therefore if he survives, the context proves that it wasn't meant to be an absolute gift. Hakotev nechasav levanav. Now here we get into another question. And this was a issue about how it is that the person treated his wife at the time that he was writing out a will. So in this case, we've got, again, this guy is in the hospital and he's writing up a will, and he includes a chelek for his wife in this will. And the chelek that is written for the wife is less than the amount of karka that is needed for her to be able to collect her ksuva. So therefore, the question is, since she has a she'ibud on his karka, it's not going to help him to give away his karka to his sons if there's a she'ibud that she has that comes first. That would be like trying to give away property that is owed to somebody else that's mortgaged to give away to your kids and say, well, it's a Yerusha, now I don't have to pay the debt. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. So normally I would say, okay, in this case, the fact that he wants to cut her out, who cares what he wants? However, as the Gemara explains, what we're talking about is where she actually doesn't say anything. She is sitting there, and it seems to be perfectly okay with her that he's writing out this will, and she doesn't say, excuse me, but this is my property, and, you know, you can do what you want, but I'm going to sue, right? So it might be that since, this, as the Gemara explains, since he was mechabed her in treating her as the same way that he treats his heirs, where she doesn't really have any right of being an heir, she's not an heiress to him, and he's treating her with tremendous kavod, so we understand that her not saying anything is an acquiescence because of this kavod to how it is that he wants the future of the family to be defined, and she is accepting the fact, since she didn't say anything, she's accepting the fact that her ketuvah has effectively been reduced. So because of that, if there's any karka at all that he gives her, unless she says something about it, she cannot go ahead and collect her ksuva, except from, of course, what he gave to her at this point, which is not enough to collect her ksuva. Now, in the event that the husband does not die at this point, but he ends up living and he buys additional property, she gets a new lien on the additional property. Because it doesn't mean that she loses her ksuva. Why would she lose her ksuva? She only loses the ability to collect the ksuva because she gave up on her lien to this karka. But the moment that he ends up getting new karka, so then is the Rambam Paskins, she can collect from that new karka to the full extent of her ksuva. And now the question is, and this was a question that the Gemara discusses in Bava Basra, does this mean that it's a continuation of only where he writes this will over here when he's dying? And therefore, maybe we're assuming that she's accepting it because she too is assuming that he's going to die. And therefore, it's going to be hard for him to do business after he dies. And she still doesn't say anything, even though she probably can't collect her ksuva. But maybe, if her husband was giving out property when he's perfectly healthy, and then she doesn't say anything, I mean, then the reason that she might not be saying anything is because she's being samech on the fact that he's giving out property, he's busy, he goes to the office every day, he's probably going to get another 100 properties. When am I going to sit here and make a fuss? What am I going to say to him? No, I'm going to sue the kids out. Of course, I'm not going to say anything because I don't believe that I'm actually going to leave my ksuva uncollected. And actually, the Gemara leaves this with a teiku. We don't really know from the Gemara, the Rambam Paskins, that it's at least it seems so, that the Rambam says that even if he is perfectly healthy, this would be exactly the same halacha. That seems to be the way the Rambam understands the situation. Okay, all of this, again, is only talking about karka. But why is it only talking about karka? Because at the time of the Mishnah, the only thing that she could collect was karka. And therefore, she loses the ability to collect. The problem is that, of course, after we made the takana that she has a right even to glima da al katvoi, so then we're not going to have that same sense because she will be left with other things to collect from. And then the whole discussion about karka kosher specifically and so on is no longer limited to understanding the idea in terms of karka. Rabbi Yossi Omer, whereas Rabbi Yossi says, im kibla aleha afa pishalo katavla, if she accepts the thought, forget about the fact that he's writing, says as kotevla, he calls a family conference and he discusses the way that he wants to break up the estate. And he didn't write it out. And he says, my plan is to leave mom this amount from the estate. And she doesn't say anything over there, even though if it was less, it's considered to be even without a ksiva and even without a kinyan to be a vitur. She was willing because of the covet to be a vitur. Okay. That's how the Rambam learns. Others learn that it means if she specifically agreed, and she said, I think that's an excellent way to split up the estate, but not stumped because under these circumstances she was quiet. And quiet can always be construed as, I don't want to make a fuss about these things in front of the kids. And you know, if it comes to legal action, I'll take the kids to court, but I have to tell you that up front. So oftentimes people are not interested in being confrontational, and therefore the Tanna Kamma doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi. Okay, Rabbi Yossi, very contemporary issues. All right, we'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, assuming the issues aren't too contemporary. We'll see you tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Kol Tuv to all.